Today, visiting with Mayor Eli Stines. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Great to be here.
A city council meeting got over a lot quicker than I think a lot of people thought.
Yes. I mean, we didn't have a ton on this agenda compared to other ones, but we did have a presentation at the beginning that, you know, could have taken quite a while, but it didn't take too long.
And we do know a lot of people were interested in
yes.
it, wanting to hear more about it.
Of
but
course.
You had invited Evan and Emily Jorgensen. They are the owners of the property, the former Y, calling it Boone Flex.
Yep.
And they have a plan together. Now, in the past, so far, I mean, they've been meeting with city staff,
mm-hmm.
city administration. You've met with them a couple of different mm-hmm. times, but they've never actually been before, like, the full council.
That's right. Yeah, so they've owned the building for about 9 months, and they've been planning and working on things, and so I wanted to invite them to make sure that, you know, they were able to give the full scope of what they've done so far and what they're going to, planning on doing in the future
mm-hmm.
and get any questions asked by the public and council members and things of that nature. Chief Adams and our building official, Dave Aides, have been through the building to kind of update themselves on what it looks like on the inside and give some, information to them about what they'll need to do to improve the building for mm-hmm. Occupancy later on.
Yeah. One of the things had been, would they be need to rezone? Because they are
yeah.
operating it not as a center, actually, as a nonprofit group. They are operating it as a commercial business.
Yeah.
And that would have required some rezoning. But
yes.
Actually, your staff came up with a bit of better solution.
Yeah, our building official dove down and said, well, don't necessarily have to rezone it from residential to commercial. What we can do is look at a special use permit, a conditional use permit, and gave them all the information about that and how to apply for that. And so that application was put in early this month, and it'll appear before the next Planning and Zoning Commission meeting in
mm-hmm.
October, and then it'll go to the Zoning Board of Adjustment. And if the criteria are met, they would be approved for this conditional use. And then, before it would be able to be open, there would have to be specific safety improvements that would have to occur in the building.
Yeah. And so, and they are well aware of it. They've seen some
yes,
of the engineering information. Again, they let everybody know that.
So. Yeah. They had in their presentation, very well done presentation, the data that they had worked on from historical studies that were done when the Y was open. There was a fairway study that was done, a study by Estes, so right around the 2017
mm-hmm.
year. And so what they were starting with and that, realm and what they would need to do to bring the building up to code.
Yeah, they prioritized some of their projects and kind of laid out a rough time
yep.
frame for you. Rough first.
yeah, get the roof over their heads first.
Said that they've said that more than one occasion. Got to
yes.
get the roof done first.
The roof needs to be done first, and they're planning on doing that yet this year. And it was a very, thorough timeline
mm-hmm.
about what their plans are. And, I asked them what assistance that they needed from the city.
Yep.
And they, they said that would just to go through the process smoothly for approval of
yeah.
their applications.
So at this point in time, once again, they're continuing to move forward with it. They did talk about the fact that they do have already an agreement, because I know you had asked about, are you going to have a manager in there or whatever?
Right.
They go, well, it's a little early for that.
Sure.
But they already have been working with Campfire,
mm-hmm.
I think
yep.
it is.
So they said Campfire was still interested in partnering with them for after-school programming. And so said they would intend to lease out portion of the building
mm-hmm.
to them for that.
So they'll continue to move forward with that project
indeed,
if we get
yep.
a chance. But again,
it was nice to have a full explanation of what has been done and what they're planning on doing. And
a tentative schedule.
Exactly, yes,
yeah.
Some timeline. And, we addressed, as we did back in January, the complementary nature of what they're doing and what the city's
yeah.
proposal is on the recreation complex. And they've done a good job on putting out information about contrasting what their facility will have versus what a potential city
mm-hmm.
facility would have, and that they're not that they are mutually exclusive and they're not in competition
yeah.
for the same resources.
So we'll again watch that continuing to go forward.
Yep.
I kind of have been watching this for some time, because this topic has come up several times. Waylon did talk
yes.
a little bit about it, about the lead service line,
yes.
and the city of Boone is kind of getting together with a number of other cities the
mm-hmm.
same size, because one of the big concerns is it's going to be an unfunded mandate.
Yes.
Mostly unfunded, at least the way it appears.
At the current time, and we want to change that to get some funding for the mandate when it comes in. Of course, you know, no amount of lead in the water is safe for human beings to consume. There's lead service lines all throughout the city, and we've been watching this, trying to be proactive as much as possible when replacing meters and things like that, you know, to get the lead out of there. But there's a lead service line coalition that we're a member of, and they gave some information about what they think is coming down the pike as far as a mandate and action steps to talk to our legislators about, you know, what can they do at the state level to help homeowners. I mean, because it primarily falls on homeowners to do a lot of this work and do these replacements. And so I got that out to Senator Green, the information that Waylon sent to me, and he got right on that and sent it to his staff to get it on committee agendas in the upcoming session. So I was really appreciative about
that. Make everybody more aware of
that. And plan as far ahead as you can budgetarily wise.
I think one of the concerns, if they mandate the city to go and do this, obviously the only way you could afford to do that would be to raise rates.
Yeah, absolutely. We have those enterprise funds with the water side of things. Yeah. That all comes from the rates that you pay for your water. And so that's all a self-contained system. And so having to do that work would necessarily fall on the homeowners because of raising rates. And that's the last thing we want to do. Yeah. So and since this is going to be a nationwide endeavor, one would hope that there would be nationwide assistance for all the localities.
Some sort of a process
in
there,
too. Yes, absolutely. So we're trying to get ahead of it as much as possible.
Just so people understand, for Boone, you got over 1,500, right now estimated 1,500 lead service lines. And I believe they put a rough cost around $10,000 on doing the replacements. That's a big chunk of change.
Yep.
And, you know, we'll see what happens. But it seems to be getting closer. I know 5-6 years ago is when they were first starting to talk. I think Flint, Michigan did it.
Yep, and it's been a long, long time.
It is. So it's out there, but folks need to pay attention that this will be coming along. Mm-hmm. Waylon also gave a little bit of an update on Story Street. I know you were pretty pleased the way things have gone so far.
I was, yeah.
A couple of little things, but otherwise substantially complete.
Yep. And the, you know, going over the trolley tracks is just smooth as butter. And, you know, so Boone and Signet Valley Railroad did a great job in assisting with that portion of the project. So the trolley could run smoothly and the cars could go smoothly over that as well. So I've taken to myself just driving down Story Street, even if I could go another direction, just because how nice it is.
All right. So let's talk about the big issue for some people anyway. Appears to be they're still having an issue of trying to figure out what flashing red lights do.
Yes, flashing red lights is a four-way stop. So please do stop at the white lines, of solid white lines. Look left, look right, look left again, make sure you pause for pedestrians. Also, that's one comment that I've received from a lot of folks. Make sure that you are watching out for pedestrians, and so. We are going to leave the flashing red lights on through the winter months to assess traffic flow, complaints, comments, and things like that. But I think, you know, after that point, we can make some final decisions about what the configuration is going to look like, and then we can improve signage and lights after that point when we're pretty sure what we're going to stick to.
Well, right now, again, it's a learning process for a lot of
things. It's changed, you know, and everybody's got their own flow that they've been through for years, and it's a hard thing to do, but people are adapting pretty quickly, and I've gotten a lot of comments about how smooth the traffic does flow when you don't have to wait unnecessarily.
Well, still got a couple of odds and ends of things to do. We know Public Works, as they get time, they've been a little busy trying to get caught up on things, but as they get time, they're going to be working on the people lights.
Yep, the lights and oncoming signage and things like that. It's been hard to get signs, quite frankly, for a number of different things, so... those have been back ordered for a while on other projects, too.
Speaking of getting equipment, we're all waiting to see it assembled. But for Franklin Park, Mike Cornella says, yes, the playground equipment that they've acquired, the obstacle course type equipment
it
that they got
arrived, but they didn't want to leave it out there. So they have it back at the parks office. And he updated last night that the beginning part of October is supposed to be assembled. So that's actually not too far away and still plenty of time to do those obstacles before the snow falls, hopefully.
So we'll see again if they don't delay getting here to do the installation. Yeah. I know he was hoping for dry weather. So
yeah.
Another one, Jamie Williams, our director for the library, throwing a reminder in once again about the survey. And I know you want people to do that survey.
It's a library information survey.
We're not taking any secret information here.
No, it's how do you use the library? How would you like to use the library in the future? And so it's guiding their services now into the future.
And it does do the, as they start doing their planning for programming and stuff, how are we going to meet some of these needs? And are we still in the right direction?
Yeah, they want to find out if there are there any gaps? Are there any things that people want to do that we're not providing? They have paper copies of that survey at the Erickson Public Library. And then there's an online link as well on the library's Facebook page.
Okay. One thing I do know that the council did approve last night, a resolution. We finally have wrapped up. We have an agreement again on finalizing a lot of stuff on our disinfection project that took much longer than anticipated.
Yes. So the UV disinfection project at the wastewater treatment facility have had, you know, substantial completion on that for quite a while. But, you know, there was some delay, many, many delays for years on the project. And so in a discussion, we had mediation with King Construction to get through that and, you know, fact finding and things like that, who's responsible for what. And so we did reach a settlement of $425,000. $25,000 of that EMC insurance will pay. And, you know, some of that amount of money was the amount that we had previously owed but not yet paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so as fair as a settlement that you can get, everybody walks away a little bit unhappy. But it's done. The UV disinfection system is there as we were mandated to do.
I was going to say, once again, mandate.
Yep. And that was quite a number of years ago that was mandated, and it's finally there. And so it takes a long time to work through these things.
That was one of those things, when it first came in, it was after the big sanitary sewer improvement project right through Honey Creek, right through town. Yep. And then at the time, the council said, you know, we've done this. Can we get a little extension on it? So now finally got that part complete. And it is operational.
Yes.
It's doing what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Folks. So that's going on. One of the other things is an application will be going into the DOT for some RISE money. And that's a Revitalize Iowa Sound Economy.
Yep.
We've used this program in the past for a couple of projects in Boone. But this one, it would be tied into the DAISY project and a pretty substantial request.
Yes. So the RISE grant application is going to go in for a road to connect Corporal Sten Drive to the property where the DAISY facility will be located. What was the amount? Was 3.7?
Well, I think total amount's going to be closer to about 4.4 with the city's share of it.
Yeah. So the state pays 80% of that if we receive the grant. And so when you see that $4.4 million, You'll know that that's a large number. Roads are very expensive to construct. There will also be improvements on Corporal Sten included in that as well. So turning lanes, stoplights, and things of that nature for safety because of the increased travel and the school being in proximity to that. So if the grant is accepted and awarded, the state will pay 80% of that amount of money. And the rest of it, we had budgeted for as part of our agreement with DAISY to pay for a portion of that road.
So we've already been planning towards this, so we've got some dollars available to put in that direction.
Absolutely.
And again, that's we'll have to wait and see. That's got to go through the application process, but I think,
And I would point out that doesn't have anything to do with any construction or changes on Highway 30. This would all be on Corporal Sneddon Drive and adjacent to that within city limits. So the DOT is working on a separate plan for US 30.
So, and we'll see what they end up doing.
Yeah, they have a public meeting at the beginning of October, I believe.
So they're going to be doing it. So we do know that that's going to be one of the others. Looking forward to having that completed. Another kind of been waiting for one of these. We've had several different projects that have received housing projects that have received state credits, and one of those at 8th and Ringgold. I kind of been waiting for that, but that was a an area where there was some property there. You were able to get it cleaned up.
Yep.
And did have somebody that was going to build some townhomes. They're finally getting to it.
Yeah, that one has taken a little bit longer. They're going to have a ribbon cutting and groundbreaking, I guess they're calling it, on October 7th.
They might already be done. They're busy doing things, though, but that's okay.
Yeah, you have to get the construction done when the weather allows it.
Right. Some of the things as you wrapped up your meeting last night, once again, doing your urban renewal plan, which we know is just a work in process. You got to just get that all updated for part of the Hunsucker project down there. Yep. But we have finalized some changes in the ATV ordinance.
Yes.
For people that are wondering, yes, it's kind of a little codification, but still have a lot of the basic things. You can't be riding through McCose Park. And
right, or on Story or Mamie. And then the
some of those are still in there.
Yeah, and the restrictions for this is over now for this year, but Supernatural still applies. So just a little bit of housekeeping there.
But it does open it up for later at night.
Yes,
especially when we get in the wintertime with snow removal.
I actually had someone had reached out to me about the conflict between the state law and the city code on that. And so that's resolved through this process.
Got that taken care of.
Yeah.
All right. Couple of closed sessions last night, starting the process for contract negotiations.
Contract negotiations for the police bargaining unit and the fire bargaining unit. So for both of our, emergency services bargaining units, have discussions about that and approve a contract later on down the road.
Yep. Economic Development Committee did meet prior to your meeting. They really didn't have much that they presented during the meeting outside of the list of a lot of projects.
I brought the list with me, and there's a lot of economic development and a lot of investment in our downtown area. If you look at through all of those areas, that's all in this. Yeah. Not all of them are in the Main Street designated area, but very, very close. And so.
And this is, again, not like it's a little over a year, probably year and a half worth or so, one fiscal year into the second, but still have several that are going on and have actually used some of your downtown incentive fund money to enhance opportunities to secure additional grants.
Yeah, we've used the Boone Downtown Incentive Fund, BDIF, which is facades and now signage and things like that, exteriors of the buildings. We've used that as a match to assist with several of Catalyst grants. So three Catalyst grants for our downtown area, plus 14 BDIF grants. And we have a smaller grant for new businesses, and we have four that have received that. And I'm working on another one now to connect them with Ames Alliance, so the martial arts studios.
And sure.
So they're going to talk with them to see what they can do to assist.
It's one of the things that we've had that grant for some time. People just weren't really, didn't understand how to go about the process.
Help a small business owner get a few more supplies or fix some particular item and things like that. So
it's been there.
A lot of investment. If you add all of this up, it's at least $500,000 all told.
That's one of those things and people need to remember. We call it the BDIF, but the Downtown Incentive Fund grants, and some of these Catalyst grants, too. A lot of these are grants through the state and the city that are available. But it requires investment by the property owners and the business owners, and this reimburses some of that cost.
Yes.
It takes some of that risk away.
Yeah, it helps, get everybody to have some skin in the game to leverage all the available dollars that exist out there. And I noticed one of them that's on here, Modern Dress. Mm-hmm. They just got their new sign up there, and it looks just really nice and modern.
Yeah.
And so
big amount, but it was enough to help take away.
And it really refreshes that facade, so it's great to see.
So we've got those going on. I know there's a couple others that'll continue to going forward. Some of the things that are coming back to the council from the committee is, and basically came from the auditor, I think, is some documentation about so you don't have people coming in, buying a building, flipping it, and then turning around.
Tightening up some controls as far as making sure that our investment stays with the owner that had the building in the first place, and they're not just kind of using it as a one-time thing and moving on.
All right. All right, we got Puffer Billy Days coming.
Puffer Billy Days, yes.
I'll let you talk a little bit about that. There's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we have opening ceremonies on Friday. We're giving community dedication awards. Mm-hmm. So please show up for that. And then we have Saturday in the parade. And we have events downtown, a free concert with the Pork Tornadoes. Art in the Park is going to be a big one this year. The Arts Advisory Board has been working their tails off to get tons of vendors, food trucks.
Music,
barbecue contest, pet show, the whole nine yards. And there will be simultaneously, if you want to check out the tennis tournament that's going on at the same time, you can certainly walk right over and do that too. So it's going to be a great day to be in McCoy's Park next Sunday.
They've really kind of picked it up and run with it. But that's one of the things that, at least from the chamber side, they were hoping the Arts Advisory Board would
develop this partnership, sort of lighten the load on the different people that are trying to organize all the events, because there's a lot going on.
It is. And again, there's a number of ways you can find out about it. Just be aware that Story Street's going to be closed
once again, but it's
worth it.
This time is pedestrian access and being able to be there on the ground yourself and up close and personal with all of the improvements that have been done. And find a new store of your own, because the vendors are going, the merchants are going to have a special things going on during that time.
Sure.
And they would love for you to stop in, see what they have to offer, and make a few purchases while you're down.
The shops on Story, which is how it all started.
Yep.
Way back when.
Mm-hmm.
We do know and did hear from last week, Ryan Palmer, Sergeant Palmer with the police department on the on our police department program, mm-hmm. I guess, if you will, our public safety program. But I did mention that, again, it's going to be that open beverage area. So
yes.
People just need to keep that in mind when you're down there, too. Just stay safe. Mm-hmm. Have a good time.
Yes. Stay safe. That's the biggest thing.
All righty. Mayor Eli Steins, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.